At Arizona State University, we're bringing world-class education from our globally acclaimed faculty to you. Earn your degree from the nation's most innovative university, online. That's a degree better. Learn more at asuonline.asu.edu.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Hey guys, it's me, Sam Stein, managing editor at The Bulwark. I'm joined by John Avlon. This is fun.
Hey man,
John,
how you doing?
I'm good. For those who don't know, you should know by now, John hired me at the Daily Beast. Back together again. Really appreciate it. John's going to talk about the budget, the beautiful budget bill, SALT, everything involved, all he wants to talk about really. But before we get into that, subscribe to the feed, click that button, very important. All right. So, John, we've been like trying to schedule this thing for like a day and a half now because it's such a moving target. We
didn't
know when.
Good thing we did, right? Because now we
know. I know. Now we know. But it was just sort of like watching it unfold. I was just – it was – what I was struck by was how crazed the entire process felt. At no point did we really actually see the legislative language until like a few minutes before the Rules Committee voted and then like a few hours before the whole House voted. Totally abnormal stuff. But beyond the process, I'm curious what your you ran for office last cycle. You're in the mix. You know this stuff. Like, what is your takeaway about what the House Republicans, especially the frontliners, decided to do here?
Look, this bill's a shit show to the extent that nobody knew what was actually in it when they voted, and it manages to simultaneously have massive cuts that will hurt real people where they live. There are automatic Medicare cuts that are set in here, in addition to the Medicaid cuts, the food stamps, and everything else. But it still blows up the deficit, hugely. Right. And so those are the big factors. In some ways, it's the worst of all worlds. Yes, they passed it barely, narrowly. But the fact that it simultaneously guts people who need it most, it shreds the social, the safety net. Keeping in mind that like 34% of people on Medicaid are kids, right? And then it simultaneously blows up the deficit, which should codify for anybody with any doubt who tends to get suckered beyond the idea that Republicans stand for fiscal responsibility. We got 40 years of test case here. Republicans only care about the deficit and the debt when Democrats are president. But, I think Gillian Tett had a great column about, this being called the triple B bill, which is
one
also
of the B's.
Right, exactly. Well, that's also the downgrade rating.
Okay.
And it's going to get changed a lot. So,
That's what I wanted to ask you about. Yeah. So I had a theory. I mean, I always thought that they would pass something because I think the desire to notch – first of all, this is their only big bill, right? Like they're not doing any other – so that combined with Trump's hold over the party, combined with the impending expiration of the tax cuts and the debt ceiling, I thought those factors were enough that they would pass something. But for a brief moment, I kind of got a little bit squishy on that because – it was very evident to me that the Senate said they were going to change it no matter what. So if you're a frontline House Republican and you're voting and you know that whatever you vote for, the Senate's going to change, that's a tough one to swallow, especially the way you laid it out. Were you surprised that the moderates in the House didn't take a stand on some of the other stuff? I know they did on SALT, and we can get into that.
We'll get there.
But were you surprised by the fact that they didn't go demand further, for instance, less aggressive cuts to Medicaid, for instance?
No. And I'm not, for two reasons. One, I think on the more painful measures, the cruel measures, I think they think, or they can rationalize that the Senate's going to bail them out a bit.
Yeah, but they still took the vote, right?
They still took the vote. And the vote will hurt them. But here's the other thing, I think, just again, looking at any sense of perspective, the center right always caves at the end of the day.
Right.
I got a lot of respect for people like Don Bacon on a lot of fronts. Okay. But he's an outlier in that he's sort of More principled among what's left of, you know, the credible center right. Everybody else folds. They speak a good game because of electoral anxiety, but at the end of the day, you know, they're Trumpers. You know, they'll make different mouth noises around election time if they think it interests them, but they're still in thrall. They're more afraid of a primary than they are of losing a general election, even if they're in swing districts, and their followers, they will always cave. And that's why there's no spine left on the center right. So no, I'm not. I think now, of course, the real action is what happens in the Senate, and whether that'll gut some of the provisions, including SALT, that these folks fought for, and all signs point to yes.
You think that you? So I was going to ask you, what are your expectations for how the Senate changes this bill?
Look, I think they'll probably trim back some of the Medicaid or Medicare cuts. I think, you know, work requirements probably not, you know, but they'll make it less of an electoral 2x4 to the face. That said, the Senate's right. In some ways.
So even- just to be clear, like the work requirements, they were supposed to go in 2029. The concession to conservatives was to start them in 2026, right after the midterms, I should say. But that would be a problem theoretically, politically in 2028. And so perhaps the Senate's like, you know what, let's go back to 2009.
Yeah. Or let's put it up in 27 or something like that.
Right. Something right? like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think there's likely to be some delays, you know, of some of the more painful provisions. You know, you might see, you know, it, you don't pass this bill or anything like it. First of all, there's a lot of magical thinking. In terms of the impact on the deficit and the debt, right? They're, you know, Lindsey Graham is trying to, you know, look for the Senate parliamentarian to be a weird, nerdy, but really important fight around this stuff, because it's a question of what you can make a baseline. But the right. bond market's not buying the unreality.
Yeah, talk about that. What? Because I've been following it from afar. Obviously, they don't have faith that the U.S. is a good place to invest. But what's going on?
Okay. This is what really matters. And it's not just, there's a famous James Carville quote from decades ago in the 90s about, you know, when he was growing up, he wanted to be a home run hitter or president or pope. But now when he grows up, he wants to be the bond market, because the bond market can intimidate everybody.
Is that real? Is that a real James Carville?
That's a real James Carville quote.
Said in a little bit different accent, but yes.
Yes, it is. Yeah, fair enough. But the point is that the bond market is a financial assessment of the stability of the United States fiscally and politically. And the bond market has been really sending messages to the Trump administration, like the U.S. does not look like a stable long-term investment. By the way, I mean, you know, a trillion owned by the Japanese, almost a trillion by the Chinese. So that can be used as a weapon against us. That's a rational argument why too much debt is dangerous. In addition to the fact that ultimately, you know, the payments on the debt end up crowding out discretionary spending. But the bond market has been sending the message since the Trump administration that the confidence in the full faith and credit and stability of decision-making in the United States is going down. And this is a result of the extortionary politics. We saw one of the earlier downgrades during the Tea Party era. Now Moody's got on board. So all these things make it more expensive to finance our debt. And the bond market is sort of undercutting this. They're sending a very clear message. The U.S. does not look like it's built on bedrock now. It does not look like a stable, giant and a beacon of freedom and responsibility and liberty and stability.
Now, is this mostly related to debt and deficit concerns, or is it a combination of that, the tariffs, the erratic political culture, things like that?
All of the above. This is not just deficit and debt. We've sustained growing deficit and debt. That's not great, but a certain amount is reasonable, particularly for the world reserve currency. It's the political instability that's the new. The tariffs adding to economic, a sense of economic irresponsibility, and that's incredibly dangerous. You know, we have lived in a world we've taken for granted the U.S. is the world reserve currency, because we have the safest harbor. The markets, you know, are sending the message that's no longer the case. And it's directly the result of this sort of hijacking of our politics by hyper-partisans, particularly on the Trumpist wing of the far right. And so this budget just compounds that stuff.
Right. This budget, just to be clear, I think it would, what are the estimates? Like three, what was the trillion?
Three to five.
3 trillion, 3 to 5 trillion added to the deficit. They, with respect to taxes, you mentioned how they're going to play cute with the baseline. What they're essentially saying is, let's just assume that you know, we're right. not, you know, that these taxes aren't set to expire. This is baseline, so that we don't have to count it as adding to the debt and deficit.
Should there we just explain why that's
it's crazy insane. Because let's say because if Democrats tomorrow were to pass a, you know, enhanced child tax credit but made it only 1 year, they could then say, well, if we just extend it 20 more years, it doesn't count anything because the baseline's now the enhanced child tax credit. It's just no real way to do actual fiscally responsible budget.
The entire way that the last math worked is that it's sunset in 25.
Exactly.
Right? I.e. this year. So now they're saying, no. This was always going to go on forever. It's a new baseline. And it sets up a fight with the Senate parliamentarian that a lot of senators behind the scenes are worried about. Because if you start overruling the Senate parliamentarian on things, you're living in a lawless universe.
Well, they just did it yesterday on the California emissions stuff. So there is precedent that overruled the parliamentarian. So there is some scary precedent here, I think, around
Watch
the rules
out.
That I – yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right, let's get to taxes yes. because we'll talk SALT and I want to talk about high-income earners because there was a period where Steve Bannon and his ilk were saying Trump should be – thinking about actually raising the rates on, I think, I forget, I'm going to mangle it, but, you know, 40%.
It's over 500 or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. To 40% for those making over 500,000 individually or by family, whatever it is. Point is, he wanted to raise high rates, and Trump balked, basically. I mean, he flirted with it, but then said, no thanks. Look, and then the SALT stuff happens, and you know, they wanted to extend the deduction. But ultimately, we got to a place, I think, where this is somewhat of a conservative tax bill. But I'm curious from your perspective as someone who's in a SALT state, who's running a SALT state, give us your pitch as to why the SALT caucus did not get the job done here, you think that's the case.
It absolutely is the case, because if we had done nothing,
right,
state local tax deduction would have been returned. Now, keep in mind, people's ability to deduct their state and local taxes has been part of the federal income tax law since 1913, since it was kicked off, right? So this is a longstanding precedent. This is not like a newfangled idea to give away. And the idea is in part double taxation, right? You're being taxed twice in effect. So you should be able to deduct that. But it was done under Trump in 2017. State and local tax deduction was taken from, you know, open-ended to 10K, right, per individual on a basis that was basically just, it was purely partisan. So Trump
it's
and the
because,
Republicans.
It's because the blue states have higher state taxes and they wanted to give it to the blue states. Yes.
Correct. So, and so this was always a political stunt designed to hurt blue states, designed to sort of rub the salt in their wounds, but it ended up creating net tax increases. For example, here on Long Island, particularly in Suffolk County, but all throughout. And so this is a huge freaking deal, but Republicans have found ways to benefit politically, right? People will move to red states for lower state taxes. And then those congressional seats are gerrymandered, just outright. No debate with any juice about, you know, fairness or equity. Like, okay. So, a lot of the Republicans from New York have been saying, we're going to restore stall. Now, keep in mind, it would have been 100% back if these tax cuts had just expired.
It just expired. Right.
100% back. So anything short of that is still a whack in the face.
Right. Now, the critic, go ahead. You finish first and I'll do the pushback.
They were able to say, look, we were able to get it to 40, per family. And that's an improvement for a lot of folks. It phases out at 500. Yes, that's high, but the regional economy is in place. The real deal is that Trump said he was going to eliminate the state and local tax deduction at a campaign stop in the fall of 24. That was always BS. And now it's going to meet the Senate. And the Senate doesn't give a damn about this stuff because there basically are two or three blue state, Republican senators. So this is all the things they gave up, you know, pretending like they weren't going to sign off on a sacking of Medicaid or cuts to Medicare. That they're saddled with all of that. And this thing probably doesn't even have a life expectancy worth buying, a head of lettuce for.
So it's 40% at 500K for the new SALT under the House bill, which is obviously higher than 10%. The initial offer was 30%.
Thousand.
Yeah. They got it up to 40K. It was the initial offer, I believe, 30K. So that's what they got in the negotiation process. The pushback on this is that, well, this is only going to impact incredibly high net worth individuals, right? And your response, which I think is valid, is that, in fact, you know, this is a, you know, what we're talking about, New York, California, New Jersey, this is going to actually hit a lot of people with high costs, where they live in high cost neighborhoods, where, you know, prices are astronomical, and this will have a really big impact. And it won't just be high net worth individuals, it'll be middle class. And you think even at 40K, that's a problem?
Look, I think this is better than 10, which is what they inflicted after 2017.
Yes, mathematically, it is better than 10.
Right,
yes.
And so let's not, but don't take this to the bank until we see what the Senate does. And what
you think
the
Senate's going to just do nothing? Keep it at 10?
I don't know what the Senate's going to do, but I know they're not well disposed to.
Yeah. I will say you're right about Trump. He flipped completely on this. He promised to get rid of it entirely. He did. And he said he would work with Democratic governors to get rid of it entirely.
And this was always transparent BS. Who are you going to trust to get rid of it? The person who took it away?
Right.
Who lies all the time? Or folks have been saying from the beginning that this is absolutely unjust and unsustainable.
How would you get the revenues? Because I think you're with me that you do need to raise tax revenues, right? You have to raise them if you want a balanced budget. Where would you look?
All right. First thing I would do is I would close the loopholes. I'm a big fan, actually, of tax simplification.
Carried interest loopholes, thing like that.
Carried interest is one of them, but I'd actually look at, like, so let's start with corporate, right? You know, we had a corporate tax that was too high in the United States. If you look at international competitiveness, and you do need to look at international competitiveness, we do need pro-growth policies, fine. But if in the last Trump bill, they lowered them lower than what CEOs were asking for, which is 26%, and they didn't close a single damn loophole. If you're going to lower rates, which you should do, close loopholes. Sure. Right? Okay. Close loopholes. Create simplification. R&D all day long. We want people to invest in long-term value creation, but not stock buybacks, right? I mean, you know, it's just one example. So I'm actually very much in favor of leaner, cleaner rates, but you got to do simplification to do it, and that raises rates. The other thing I think you need to do is recognize that there's a lot of variability in regional economies. And it makes no sense to give someone who's a member of the upper middle class, the working wealthy, regionally the same tax rate as someone who's the 0.0001%, especially if they can game the system, as often occurs. I think, you know, if you were to make the top rate higher, but make it for folks pulling in $1 million a year, you know, it'd be hard to see politically how you could fight against that.
Millionaire tax? Yeah, no. In fact, there was a movement.
Not a surtax. Actually, just say if you want to raise the top rate back to 39.7.
Okay, do the top margin rate
at a much higher level.
So not an Elizabeth Warren surtax, but an actual new bracket that says, okay, gotcha.
Yeah, okay. I we should have tax simplification. We should have much more, a simplified tax system with, you know, five rates that's really clear and with some basic deductibilities, child tax credit, state and local tax deduction, charitable, but keep it simple, and make it harder to game, make it just. And I think I would actually, that would be a relief for folks.
Oh yeah.
And
but so they've been talking about this they've been talking about comprehensive tax from forever. It's just not.
But because you got a system that's larded up with lobbyists, and this is where small businesses get screwed too. You can't navigate a system if that you can't afford to own a phalanx of lawyers and accountants. And that's where a lot of righteous frustration comes in. So we've got a simpler system with clear deductions that doesn't penalize small businesses and middle class and upper middle class folks.
All right. Last question for you, because now it goes to the Senate. We know it's going to get changed, this bill. You have some suspicions about SALT. I have some suspicions about what they're going to do with Medicaid. Either way, it's going to be a different bill. Are you with me that ultimately they'll pass something? They just have to.
Ultimately, they'll pass something. But that's sort of like, it's not quite saying the sun's going to rise in the morning, but they got to pass something, right?
They did. I mean, look, they did not pass the ACA repeal. Like they've had histories of not passing.
But that was a one-off that was sort of politically difficult. I don't think this is the same. I mean, you got a debt ceiling coming down the pike. I mean, you got to do something. And you're right. All the ambitious things they were talking about doing are things that could have been considered silver linings, in this circumstance. No one's talking about, immigration reform. They're just talking about more money for the border, for example, right? Yes, they will pass something, I would imagine. But it's going to look a lot different than what just passed by two votes. And so, you know, it just like no one who voted on this knew what was in it. Let's be real clear about that.
It's really crazy. It honestly is so crazy. It was like hours. They just put up a manager's amendment, and then within hours, they were expected to vote on it.
In
wild
the
stuff.
Middle of the night, right?
Remember, well, remember at that point, it was like 4 a.m. So does that count as night or early morning at this point?
Well, look, it's dark. remember the whole thing? Very little good happens between midnight and 5 a.m.
I always disagreed with that. I always thought good stuff happened during that
period. I'm like, you know, sunlight, you know, outside your own home, Sam. How about that? you know, you gotta, I mean, you know, if the sunlight's the best disinfectant, if you're trying to push things, you know, big bills through in the middle of the night. You know,
fine.
You're trying to pull.
All right, so back on
Joe.
I'm pulling this back in. You think they'll pass something?
Something. But I say we don't know what'll be in it yet. I mean, no one should act like this is some kind of baseline, but barely.
Yeah. Well, and you got to watch the bond market, because if it keeps going the way it goes, that does impact the way that these lawmakers think.
It should, but I don't know that it will. You can't spin the bond market. We have a policy of unreality, right? We have a political party that accepts unreality as a litmus test for loyalty. And the bond market's not going to buy the BS, nor should it.
Avalon, it's always a pleasure, buddy.
You too, brother.
Talk to you later. Guys, subscribe to the feed. You get this stuff.
Do it.
Later.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
You're listening to Leaf Filter Radio, and the guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Cunahan, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions.
Hey, everybody, Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have Leaf Filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A Leaf Filter trusted pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install Leaf Filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, Leaf Filter trusted pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/day to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/day for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.